Thanks for clicking.
What the hell happened last week? We shed our alien intrusion, mind takeover, and here we are.
Yeah, those guys, they won't be back.
Those guys won't ever be back.
I gotta tell you, man, my schedule is full. My schedule is full.
That's why there's no skit.
Every week, I'm just like, okay, I gotta go to that. I'm like using my GPS. How do I go from this place to that place and make it on time?
What are you busy doing, though?
I'm setting alarms where I'm like, okay, I gotta leave at this time. I'm meeting people. People are doing stuff, man.
Like for listings, like I'm thinking
mostly,
about
I'm
selling.
Mostly on the listing side. So yeah, I'm meeting sellers. I'm
listing
meeting with
presentations.
At least half a dozen of them a week, you know?
And so yeah, all, I mean,
they're all definitely like, oh my God, what's going on? What's happening with the market? And they want to start moving.
Yeah, I feel from my perspective that things are heating up. Maybe it's just because I'm heating up, or I feel like it's
the world
like,
is
things
coming
are going.
Back alive. Yeah,
things
the world is kind of going like.
Happen. Yeah, for all those people that don't want to believe
there?
It, yeah, and don't want to believe that, you know, we're these goofy, funny guys. Like reality is that at the moment, for whatever reason, and the reason is, like I keep saying, like people have been waiting on the sidelines, bursting at the seams, just waiting for some reason to buy something.
When do you think the bottom's going to hit?
Won't I look like an idiot for buying this thing?
Yeah,
right?
Because I got.
And can I afford
ready
it?
To go.
I mean, that's good too.
Dry powder. I mean, lock,
that's
stock, two smoking barrels.
There's been a lot of dry powder, though. There's been a lot of it. And are they getting what they want now? Are they buying townhouses instead of small single families?
Here's my prediction. They're going to do the same stupid things that they did 2 years ago all over again. I guarantee it. That the same mentality will come back. Well, people will be speculating again, and that they won't be analyzing deals properly, and that they'll just be buying out of emotion. I guarantee it.
You're seeing people getting burned. I saw a story of somebody taking like $500,000 loss in a Milton house. So if you bought in Milton at peak and now you're sitting there thinking, I can't afford this thing on the renewal, I suppose. Is the renewal coming up? Maybe it could be like people with those short term private money loans, man. People aren't even talking about that.
Through, though. Like the peak priced people who got variable rates, those are the ones who got obviously instant pain. The peak pricing fixed rates, though, most of them were 5-year fixed. And so they locked in something really hot and that they're not going to come around again until 2027-ish, 26 maybe earliest. And so those guys we haven't really seen yet.
Yeah, let's leave
bottom line
our,
is I'm
our,
meeting people this like every week, every single week. I'm meeting people who are taking a loss, as in they bought a property within the last 2 years, and they are forced to sell it now for financial reasons, and that they will be taking a loss of some sort. I meet somebody like that every week.
Every week.
Every week. And we had a lawyer come into our office a couple of weeks ago who said he's got more power of sales on his desk than ever before, and that he's hiring more staff.
Well, Mark Morris put out a tweet saying something like, the people that you think are doing well right now are hanging on by a thread for the most part.
Yeah.
And that his wealthiest client is driving like a 2019 minivan or something like that. Right. While everybody else, and
it's a Dodge Caravan. I gave Mark a ride in it the other day. Oh, never mind. Sorry.
Right. Sorry. It's true. You drive a minivan, don't you?
Yeah. Not 2000.
Your car fits in a minivan.
Yeah, I've replaced the engine twice in it. But
TK's got a car stashed away that nobody knows about unless you,
that I don't drive. That's still at the dealership, but they're holding it for me.
You see it on the weekends when he goes to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
right? You pull up in your Ferrari and your
Ferrari,
78 Ferrari.
Intimidation tactic.
Mint condition with your mustache.
Yeah. Speaking about jiu-jitsu, my friend just opened up a jiu-jitsu gym in Pickering. If anybody's looking to take their kids
Pickering.
Or want to be able to check out a new gym. It's called Ace, A-A-C-E, Martial Arts. It's in Pickering at White's Road and Highway 2. And it's a great gym. Great place to bring your kids or for you or your significant other to train. Daryl, it's time.
It is time.
For the viewers to subscribe to the best Canadian real estate show on at Sundays at 12 in the universe.
The time has come. Press that button and everything will be okay.
Just sign here.
Right here.
Okay. That's good enough.
Have you seen I hate to throw this in here right now, and maybe I shouldn't, but have you seen the Apple Vision Pro?
So cool.
It looks so cool.
I am determined to not buy it because I am
trying
harder
not to buy
and it's
that.
Like, that thing is so cool. I just want to go and try it. I thought it was so dumb when they first released all the promos for it.
Just imagine walking into a house with that on and everything pops up about the house while you're walking around. It says, oh, look at the quartz countertops and look at these windows were done in 2016 and the property taxes are this and everything's Let's go. We got to make that app before someone else does, right?
Hey, that thing's pretty cool. Yeah,
I am so
excited. It did look stupid. It just looked like an iPhone on your face when they first released it. And now I'm like, all right, maybe there's some cool stuff. But let's not go too far down this road here. I definitely think that there's real estate
applications. Real estate applications coming soon. That's going to be cool. I mean, you're going to need something to do while your car is driving you around, right? You're going to need something to do. Won't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're not driving and
you're not driving anymore and you're just sitting in there.
Although I don't really drive much. It feels really weird for me when I go out to a meeting these days. It really does. Like, it's such a pain in the ass. I can't get over, like, I got to get showered and do my hair and get dressed and go drive in the goddamn Toronto traffic to go shoot the shit with somebody. Like, most of the meeting can probably get done in about 15 minutes, but we got to do the blah, 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 blah. And then you got to drive back home or back to the office. It's like, holy shit.
You got to have a nap afterwards.
But this one meeting just cost me 4 hours, right?
You wouldn't make it as a real estate agent.
Oh, my God. It's insane what you guys have to do. It's like, oh, my God, somebody wants to see the house right now. I got to go. Sorry, honey. I got to go.
Yeah.
Sorry, honey.
Listen, the kid's going to have another birthday next year, all right?
Like
this
money,
isn't that important.
You? Right. You like the money, though.
Right?
It's got to be a constant argument in every real estate household, right?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Like, this is how I make my living. They want to see it now, right?
Exactly.
Thank God somebody wants to buy. You know, so I was out last night and with some friends, and they're in an industry that is getting fucking devastated right now, right? And it's like people are just bracing for impact, closing locations, like getting rid of as many staff as you can. Like, it's all hands on deck right now. And real estate must feel like that from the realtor's perspective, depending on where you're at. And some of these brokerages must be just like hanging on for dear life with so much.
In January, they said
weight.
They added like 28,000 jobs in
37,000.
Like,
oh, real
that's
estate.
that's overall, but like 28,000 were like real estate related.
Really?
I forget the other subcategory. Yeah,
how
a lot
is that
there.
Fucking possible? That doesn't even make any sense.
You know
sense.
Why? Because those new home sales centers, they're doing everything they can right now to sell those projects. Because think about the aftermath of this whole entire, if they don't sell that project, think about what's going to happen, right? I sent you that text, right? That's 7.5% cooperating brokerage commission.
Yeah,
that's the commission that they're offering.
What?
Realtors,
what was that for?
Realtors. So it's like some condo. Let's not name them.
Condo.
But,
okay.
But it was like a Happy Chinese New Year is today.
Is that today?
Yeah.
Oh.
So gongxi fa cai to all of our Chinese friends.
Right.
And they offered 7.5%. Commission.
7.5%.
If that doesn't
permission.
Tell me that that property's overpriced by permission. At least 7.5%, nothing else does.
Well, normally it's like 4%. So it's a 3.5% bump for the co-broker on a pre-construction, which is still significant. But guys, I saw somebody offering like a condo and a Porsche.
Condo and a Porsche?
And a Porsche. You buy a condo, you get a Porsche.
Oh, if you buy a condo, then you get a Porsche.
This is the incentive. We're not lowering the price, but you can have a Porsche.
But we'll give you a Porsche. We'll tell you which Porsche or whose Porsche. But
it could be if a you pay Porsche. Us our price.
It's kind of like when we do this. I always tell sellers when we're selling property, like they'll be like, oh, I need to redo the flooring in the basement. It's like, okay, you know what? Why don't we do this? Why don't we put in the listing that the seller is willing to change the flooring? Oh. And then if you get an offer that says we want you to change the flooring, then we'll change the flooring.
Okay.
And so far to date, we've never ever had to actually do that work because the buyer will come in and say, well, I want the flooring done, but I only want to pay $500,000.
Just
and then
give
you
me
go,
a discount.
All right, listen, I'll do it for $500, but I'm not doing the flooring. Okay, fine. Never works out that the work gets done. So that Porsche is not coming with that condo, but it sounds good to bring the guy.
It sounds good. Just sign the guy here. We'll figure it out later. Let us just get your
interest. Well, if you only want to pay 1.8, I can't give you the Porsche. Come on.
So, but what I was trying to kind of get to again, which I've said many times, is there's like this real K-shaped economy where, because there are things that are booming right now. And like you said, like, okay, I can't even believe that real estate sector added that many jobs. The overall Canadian economy added a ton of jobs. Well, maybe not a ton of jobs, but like added jobs. So that's really good. Like if you go to the mall, it feels like it's booming. If you go to a real estate office, it feels like, you know, people are looking for stuff to do to fill their time. Not that that's not always what a real estate office is like, but now it's like they're openly admitting that they have nothing to do. Before it used to be like a bunch of realtors that would, I'm not going to answer this because then they'll know I'm not doing anything. I'm going to like go wait till there's something in the background that I can like, it sounds like I'm busy, call them back. And just a bunch of shenanigans. I've seen it firsthand. Like, guys, just nobody's doing anything. They're at the gym. They're having breakfast. Then they're having lunch. And then they're at, like, some kind of a meeting. And then they're at, like, it's just all.
And then they get home and
shit,
then they talk to their wife. Holy. And they're just like, I worked so hard today. Today was so busy. I had, like, all these things. So what did you do? Well, I was at the gym and I had lunch and then I had to go and pick up my dry cleaning and then I was off to the mall because I had to make that return and get those alterations done. But then when I was done, I was finally ready to go to that appointment. So I went on the computer and I prepared for the appointment. And then I went to that appointment and then boom, 5 minutes later, I was done and on my way home and I'm so tired. Yeah. What's for dinner?
The appointment was with
five-minute
bookie,
appointment.
By the way.
But it was
$40,000 to
it was
large.
8 hours of work. 8 hours of work preparing for that 5 minute appointment.
But things are looking good. Things are looking good. And I have like 10 potential listings coming next month.
There's
10 potential
listings. I'm talking to a ton of people.
I'm out there doing
everybody's
my thing,
thinking,
honey.
Ah, look, somebody listed with another guy. Ah, they told me they were going to go with me.
I swear to God, I had to
go. You couldn't be a realtor, girl. You couldn't.
I could be a wonderful realtor if it was like
could,
an online brokerage.
I don't think
you'd
put up
with
it.
No,
you
can't
put up
talk
with
to anybody here. No, why would I want to put up
with
that?
You got to put up with being a realtor.
That's not true. Listen, I built custom homes. I had a big construction company. I dealt with a lot of horseshit, man. I was able, but I made a conscious choice. I did not like this. I do not want to do this ever again anymore. Mm-hmm. Not doing it. Ever again. You hear that, TK? A little Freudian there for us. But it's enough of this
banter.
Enough of this baloney.
Yeah, like, comment, subscribe. I'm double subscribed. Do it yourself. Didn't get to fix the show, though.
Please subscribe. And,
well,
we actually have a wonderful guest here. This guy's a real YouTuber. He provides education, provides comedy, provides insight. He used to provide me with a lot of my insights on China, but he completely abandoned that, which I feel like I complained to him about this last time. Mr. Mitchell is here.
Hey, guys.
Mark,
how you doing?
Welcome back.
On
Glad
his
to be here.
Own? Yes. How you doing? Thanks for clicking. Can you do it for us, please?
Thanks for clicking.
There you go. Holy shit. So it's like a rock and roll band. Like, how many times before it just becomes like, holy shit, I got to do this again? Like, is this part of my shtick forever? Or do you love just saying that line?
It became I had to after about 6 months.
Had to go to? Yeah, had
it's like
to.
Our weekly videos too. It's like you can't stop now.
You can't stop,
That would be crazy to do that. Yeah. And it becomes just part of your habits. It doesn't bother you.
No, it becomes, it's the tagline. And it kind of gets you into it.
How much time do you put into your videos? Because they're always so, like, the snippets you put in there are so perfectly timed and, like, so like helpful to the whole brand, you know? Like, that's what I love, is how you inject that humor while you're very serious and informative in the foreground, right?
Yeah. No reason we can't have fun with it.
I love it.
Exactly. Yeah. We know what the effort you put in. We know.
I appreciate it.
There's no shortcuts.
And he's killing it. He's got like 20,000 subscribers now. He's up there. Not enough. Like the big boys. Man.
Not enough. You got another 80,000 to go.
That's right.
80 million to go. Take over the earth.
So what are you seeing right now, Mark? I mean, January 2024 seemed to be pretty active. What are people saying and doing?
Seems a lot like last January. You know, there's a lot of pre-approvals out there, and I think people are trying to get in. They think the spring market's going to be hot. So
when you say not think that much the spring market's going to be hot.
Well, I mean, they've been told that that it's going to be, right? It's all over. Rates are still higher than they were last year. So right. I'm not sure the buying power is there in the same area it was last year, but
yeah.
We're definitely starting off a pretty similar position. How about you?
How many people are coming to you, though, where they're just like, all right, Mark, I've got my down payment, got my T4s and NOAs, man, like, ooh, look at me. I want to buy this house. And then you're like, well, here's what the bank approved you for. Well, and they're just like, what? What do you mean?
A lot more have done the research this year than in previous years, I think. They've all got a pretty good idea of how much they can afford.
Hmm.
And they're ready to go. It's all people that can buy. There's, I think a lot of the people I think a lot of people have given up, right? They know they're priced out. So I'm not getting as many of those calls anymore. It's all people that they know what they can get and they're going to get it.
So they've adjusted, which is what the storyline is right now, is that new buyers coming into the market have adjusted. They said, okay, this is my payment. These are the rates over the next 5 years. This is what I can afford. What's the best house I can get for my money?
Yep.
New buyers is a different perspective, right? Because there's no other frame of reference. It's like, this is just what it is. So your expectation for what you can afford is different. It's like the math tells you what you can afford. But when you grow up here, it's like, I should have this based on what I did in my life. Like, I followed the trajectory and the rules that were laid out for me. And what the fuck? Like, yeah. I can't even afford this thing. Like, Milton used to be far. Now Milton is 1.4 million, right? London, where you are, used to be like 250 grand for a house not that long ago, right?
Yeah.
Like a normal nice bungalow to live in was in the 300s not too long ago in London. And now London's $1 million a pop, right?
For something real nice. Yeah. Like, our average price is around 600. And I grew up here. I remember, I still think of 300,000 as a lot for a nice house, like a really nice place.
Right. So a new person coming in going, okay, the math says I can get this mortgage and I can do this. So now I can buy like a townhouse or a condo or whatever. Yeah. Right.
You're doing business obviously all over the place, but the people who are coming to London or areas surrounding London, where are they from? Did they grow up around there, or are they coming from closer to Toronto?
Most of the people that are doing business here grew up here. And then I do quite a bit in Toronto and like Ottawa, Kingsville, like all over the place. But obviously the ones I meet in person live in London, and they all grew up here.
So we're not seeing a shift. Like, cause the reason I said that is cause Daryl was talking about, you know, growing up on that path. Well, obviously the path changed. And so people said, well, I can't afford Toronto, so I'll go to London.
Right.
But you're not seeing that trend right now.
Not so much. I saw a bit of it probably mid-year last year when it looked like we were going to keep on going up, but not so much this year, at least so far.
All right. So buyers are buying. They adjusted to the new rates. They see what the environment is. They have a goal. I was saying this on one of our live streams this week, is that the people out there right now, they need to buy. They don't have a home to live in, or they are upgrading. Like, they're going to buy no matter what, and they'll just figure out what the rules are and they'll play by the rules of the game. What about the people who are already in the home? The people who are calling you to refinance, who've got their, you know, variable or fixed rates are coming up for expiry.
Renewal.
What's going on?
A lot of renewals. People are out there looking to get the best deal, obviously. The very few refinances. Why would you take money out of your house at 5.5%, 5%? Especially when it looks like in a year from now, a year and a half, rates should be much lower. But renewals, I'm seeing it's tough out there. People are seeing big increase in payments.
Are people able to pay down big chunks in order to kind of help mitigate that? Or are people just saying, like, give me the longest amortization you can so that I don't lose this thing?
I'd say it's a mix. Some people are going with the 3-year because they don't want to lock in for 5. But then some just want the lowest rate to get the payment as low as they can. So they do take that 5-year, which, all things being equal, in 2 or 3 years, it shouldn't be at 5%. Mm-hmm. And again, my crystal ball works as well as yours, but
so it's, yeah, sucks, they're taking ours five was to... brutal last year.
Oh, you're
our interest rate. Yeah. Our interest rate, 2022, our interest rate crystal ball. Yeah. Because I'm telling you, nobody would have predicted this. I'm still in a variable rate. I'm riding this sucker out.
Oh, good for you.
God.
I'm not changing nothing, but right. I'm not in the worst of scenarios. I didn't buy or anything like that recently, right? I had the house for a long time. So
you had some equity
it's a different animal. So I'm kind of I want to live by my decision here.
How many people, let's kind of segue into the HSBC topic that's in the news and all the fraud again. Yeah. And just let me kind of add or ask, how many people on renewal have to fuck around with their paperwork in order to qualify to keep the house that they've been living in for the last 10 years?
Well, if the rate's higher and you don't qualify, your lender that you're with right now will usually just do an auto renewal, right? So they might not offer you the best rate. But it's not like you're gonna lose your home. They'll just auto renew you into a new.
They
rate.
Have to, right? That's into part of the those mortgage guidelines too, right? The lender has no choice, even if you're
Okay, so forget about qualifying. So you auto renew from 2.5 to 6 point something right now, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay, so great, you auto renewed me. Now what am I gonna do, right? Because now my mortgage payment just went from, I don't know, $1,800 a month to $4,200 a month.
Well, exactly.
Just a question here, Mark. This is what I believe in, and I could be wrong. So, as long as you're not in default, the lender, like an A lender, has to renew the mortgage, has to give you that auto renewal.
They don't absolutely have. They don't have to. No. At the end of your term, that's renegotiating time. It's not that it's not set in stone.
You've lost your job. You have this other debts that we've seen you've piled on. You got 3 cars in the driveway now. We're just going to put you under power of sale and that's it. Take your house. Well,
no, not power of sale. Just they wouldn't renew your mortgage. So but at that point,
you can't get a mortgage
from
anybody else.
You have to find a different mortgage.
No, well, you can. You have
hey, look,
to
I can't ahead. Do it. I can't do it.
You gotta
I can't,
go to
no one's going to lend me more money.
No, Sal will.
Well, yeah, you
no,
can
but
go
what
to,
would they do
that
in that
guy.
Case? They'd have to say power sale because you would default. Didn't renew your mortgage.
No, would default at some point.
You if you couldn't get a private lender if you couldn't get some lender to take it, then you'd be in a bit of a spot.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's really a technicality in that they can do that. I've never seen it happen. I've never seen an A lender do it, but it's not set in stone that they have to do it.
I see. But definitely, their policy is to whatever it is, the posted rate or whatever, they'll renew you and be like, here you go. These are your payments now. Start paying them. And if you can't, then we'll proceed with our.
Have we seen these kind of gaps, though, in the rate that people were fixed at and the renewal rate? Have we seen this kind of a jump in the past?
Oh, yeah. I just had a guy that renewed in 2021, I think, in and around 1.89. And now he's looking at 5.5%, right? So. It's up there.
So, other than this period of time, has there ever been a 4-5% spread between what the majority of the populace is fixed at and what renewals are?
That'd be the 80s, wouldn't
the
it?
The 80s.
I guess. Yeah. Holy shit. Can you imagine trying to buy a house at 16, 18, 22% interest? It can't possibly happen. Can you imagine how fucked the economy is if something like that were to happen?
Yeah.
It would be brimstone and fire and clouds. Well,
on that note, now with the new job numbers from January, now, like, you know, and obviously the strong U.S. economy, everyone's kind of just like, these rates may go back up. Like, there's a scenario where that happens again.
Who's been saying that for a few weeks now?
Right. So yeah. What do you think, Mark? Like, what's the information update as of today, as far as like bond yields and everything else?
Well, I think the markets are still predicting around June, July. My guess is that's when Governor Macklem wanted to wait until anyway. He doesn't want to see this real estate market reignite at all.
No.
He exactly doesn't want to see that. If he does see that, yeah, I could see that. And the economy's still doing okay. I could see a hike. I don't think it's as possible as it was at this point in time last year, but yeah, definitely still possible. The U.S. is humming along. Canada is. We're sub 6% unemployment. Mm-hmm. The U.S. is sub 4%. Like, these don't look like economies crippling under the weight of 5% interest rates.
No, right. Unfortunately. Not for the business side of things, but yeah. Unfortunately for all those people who are praying for lower interest rates.
No, but you
it really isn't
see.
A picture that that's going to happen.
But this is the crazy thing is, like, there are some in this is what I was saying before you joined us, is there's some industries that are getting fucking hammered to death right now. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But then go to Yorkdale and everybody, and I don't care what people say. People are just there. Blah, 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 blah. They're not doing anything. Bullshit. Everybody's holding bags. People are in Yorkdale with fucking bags, like, in both hands, bursting. Okay. And right. Yeah, some people, they bought a coffee or they bought a drink or a yogurt or whatever, but people are spending money and out like crazy. They're not feeling like the world's caving in on them and they should save their pennies wisely. Right. So you've got this booming retail where people just need stuff or need to be entertained. Right. The vacation, entertainment, food industry is going bananas again. Right. But real estate, at least now it's starting to pick up, but before it was dead, furniture dead, construction dying, right? But now we're all in the weeds going, hang on a sec, there's some life here.
Maybe I should buy some real estate.
Yeah, maybe it's time. No, but people have been waiting for that signal. And I think I've said in the past for sure, like, hold the rate long enough and people will take that as a good enough signal that at least there's stability. But we have a bunch of morons here that are going to take this stability and over saturate this market with more stupidity. Like, we already see lineups in Milton. We see people like 85 bids on a stupid semi in Mississauga, for God's sakes, right? We see bidding wars everywhere, regardless of where the end price ends up. These bidding wars are at least keeping prices flat, for God's sakes, right? Not cratering like they really kind of should be, because who the fuck, like TK is saying, only people are buying a house that have to buy a house. The real crazy part is that there's a million people that gotta buy a house right now and there's no houses to buy.
Yeah.
And they've adjusted because they come here knowing my rate will be 5-6%. Right.
Yep. They know, like, they've been adjusting for a while now. I mean, the clients that are buying, we've been looking at the rates, and over there was like, oh man, I have to pay that much rate, and oh, I have to, and then all of a sudden it was just like, all right, like they stopped complaining about it, to be honest with you. They just said, like, okay, can we go look at this house and what's the price and da 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 da, right? Yeah. They adjusted to it, and then the new people who are just coming in, obviously they weren't thinking about a 2% interest rate. They never even ran the math on it. They're just walking into the scenario, calling Mark, saying, hey, I want to get a mortgage. They've already gone onto a website to figure out what they're going to qualify for. And when Mark tells them that he's going to get him $500,000 mortgage to buy their house for $800 or whatever, they go, yeah, that sounds about right. Appreciate it. You know, so this is the environment that we're in. And unfortunately, the big storyline really is rates. I mean, the people that I'm dealing with, because I work a lot with sellers, are struggling, and that they want to see their payments get lowered so that they don't have to sell. They don't want to sell. They're not coming and saying like, oh, I need to get rid of this house because there's problems. They're saying I can't afford it.
Yeah.
The one this week was a $1 million mortgage, $4,000 payment is now $8,000. Right?
Yeah.
I can't afford it. It's a rental property. The rent's under $4,000. I'm bleeding $5,000 a month. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that forever. After tax money.
And that's the other side of the coin, right? How long until when does that supply avalanche hit, right? Mm-hmm. We keep on talking about the buyers coming back. How long can these 5% rates continue until we see a wave of selling? I said in the fall, if there is going to be a wave of selling, people are waiting until the spring, right? So are we going to see the sellers come back in the spring as well, not just the buyers?
But can the market absorb the new inventory? Probably no. Like how much of a flood are we talking here?
We can absorb the inventory that's coming on. I'm watching new listings coming up every day. So definitely, Mark, you're right, more and more. But I just think that overall, because of the increase to population, overall, the amount of buyers compared versus in especially in the GTA. I mean, I can't speak for every neighborhood, but especially in the GTA and probably Vancouver is the same. The amount of new buyers and eager buyers compared to the amount of like desperate sellers who are going to be selling is like 4 to 1.
True. You know? And oh, so yeah, I agree.
We'll absorb those listings that are going to come up. It just really depends on rates. I mean, if rates go up, they'll come a lot sooner. If they come down a little bit, they'll be spread out a little bit more. If they stay the same, then, you know, we'll have to kind of see what the trajectory is going to be. But they're going to be spread out because Canadians are so prideful and that they don't want to lose their home. They don't want to sign on their lawn. They don't want people to know that they're selling. They don't want that the relationship we have with our home is so much different than it is in other parts of the world. And so that they don't want to be just like, okay, I give up and raise the white flag and let's just sell because I can't afford it anymore. They beg, borrow, and steal to keep their home as long as possible so that they don't have to sell. And if they can weather the storm, which the people will double down on real estate, there's emotion involved. Will they be right? We'll find out.
Yeah, but so how do you weather a doubling of your mortgage payment when you definitely didn't get more money from your job? If you have a job, what are you seeing applications that are just so blatantly fraudulent in your business?
I've seen a few. I usually catch them. I can usually tell if it's a fraud before we even get to the application or what would be considered a fraud. So I don't usually even get to the application part of it, but I have received a few, and like the T4s obviously photoshopped.
Not like a good Photoshop job if it's obviously photoshopped, yeah. Right?
Not that hard to Photoshop. This was a PDF.
And this was like a year and a half ago. And like you could tell when I spoke to the realtor, they knew it too.
Right. They knew it. Everybody's
they were like in tandem it. Trying to pull right. a scam.
Yeah,
for sure.
I've shared this before in the show, Mark. I tried to find somebody one time. I had a guy who's stuck. He needed, you know, he's like refinance or something like that. And he's like, I need you to find me one of those guys because he didn't want to sell. And there's really nothing that I could do to help him in any other way. So I just like reached out to my agent friends. Yes, I might have reached out to some people who are in Brampton and other areas. Just saying. Yeah. And I literally did not find anybody. It was a dead end. Yet Daryl can make two phone calls. And he's just trying to get a legit mortgage. He's like, no, I got all my paperwork. And they're just like, well, you know, we can get you double if you really want to.
Would you like a tax refund this year as I'm
like,
well?
I guess the impression people have is like, maybe they think that I'm going to like, you know, rat them out or something like that. So they're like, we can't tell you about our guys. Like, who are you, Mr. You know, TK Butler?
I don't know what it is.
But Daryl, they're just like, hey, bro, what's going on? How much money you need? You know, so
Daryl's on snatch. Clearly, they can tell.
Daryl's clearly cooler than me. Are you a real estate agent and you're looking to make a change anywhere in Ontario? Guess what? We're hiring. Franklin Associates, number one team in the GTA for all REMAX teams, number one team for all teams from all companies for number of units sold. Throughout Toronto. So if you're looking to make a change, best decision I ever made was to join Franklin Associates. Go to jointeamleo.com and we can set up a call.
I haven't had trouble in the past finding those people when I needed them. And I don't think too many other people do. But I mean, you can't go through Mark. Right. You have to find other characters to do these kind of things with. But it turns out, how great could it be that one of the biggest national or international banks that's in the country that just so happened to get sold, that's kind of weird, has all these, well, they call them fraudulent. Now, let me ask you guys, what do you think? If you come to another country and your income is from some job you do back in the city that you just came from, like, should that not count as the way that you pay for your house in the new country? Should you have to not count this money? Now, forget about the fact that it's probably like an illegal, you know, money laundering operation. But let's just say that you did have that job for real, right? And that was how you're paying for this house. Why is that not cool? Why is that considered fraud? Or is it just the fact that, like, it was like fraud on top of fraud and it was so blatant?
Well, how do you verify it? How do you verify income being earned in Beijing? You know, you'd have to have a whole department to be able to undergo the same steps that which that Canadian income is verified. Like, you have to look at the letter of employment, make the phone call, read the bank statements, right? Because, like,
those are real.
The verification standards are going to be very different when it comes to verifying Beijing income. Mm-hmm. And how do you make that phone call? You'd have to have a whole separate department. So if they can't verify it, well, then that's they can't use it. That's the rules that we all play by, right? So I don't think it's, looking at HSBC specifically or at any bank, it's not really a matter of should it be allowed. It's not allowed, right? And we all have to play on the same field. All the banks have to play on the same field.
Right. But like,
it's always, Daryl, it's always been like that, though, just so you know, is foreign buyers, they have a 35% down payment requirement. It's easier to get them a mortgage than it is a Canadian, because they're just can't verify, like Mark's saying, you know, like, to be able to, like, you don't have credit here. So if you have credit in Canada and it's bad, you're not getting a mortgage. If your income doesn't qualify, you're not getting a mortgage. But when you're coming from another country, you're like, okay, I know, but on as far as the product, as far as the guidelines that the actual banks are saying, because they're going to say, well, yeah, just send me a letter from your bank. Just tell me, what do you have in the bank? Okay. You got $1 million in the bank over there. Fantastic. As opposed to here, where everything's very verified. They have a system, and Mark's right. Each country would have to be under the same scrutiny that Canadian banks are, and that's impossible. So they said, okay, let's do 35% down. So we'll take on that extra risk. And this is a product because at the end of the day, you know, the banks are there to create stimulus for the economy. The banks are here to create mortgages so that we've got more money in the economy and that they can make more money, and that they've obviously underwritten those deals at 35% and said, even if they are scams, we are not taking the risk. Maybe the taxpayer is, maybe, you know, whoever we're backed, the banks are, but at 35% down, we feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
So
that 10%
foreign buyer difference when they're don't come pounding to Canada until you buy a house first. You know, buy a house first as a foreign national and then move to Canada. You'll already own. Actually, that's illegal right now. You can't do that. But
like, so how are people's ratios working? Like, for real? Like, when people use their real ratios, where the hell can people afford a house? Like, where does a house cost something that people are actually with real normal jobs, which apparently, okay, so TK thinks everybody makes 150K, which is not true.
Everyone makes 100K. I said not 150.
Sorry.
But I'm telling you, listen, let's ask Mark. Mark's looking at these applications. We had a guy on our show last week and we're like, do any of your friends not make 100K? And he's just like, no, every
he's
one
a
of
fucking
them makes
engineer, though, bro. He's an engineer. Well, they all saying, make good money, but he's not typical.
The average person,
he
right
still
now,
had to live at home with his folks.
The average person who's young, who's been like eager and wants to get into the housing market. And yes, my sample pool is much different than if I was, you know, working at a soup kitchen, Mark, or something like that. But Mark, how much money do people really make?
In London, right now, if you're going to get a house, I'm seeing an application, a couple's going to make at least 120. If not
household
more.
Income.
That's minimum household income.
A couple.
Yeah.
Before tax.
That's like the lowest. Like there's not the many lowest of those. And the guy makes 110 and the
what
girl
do you get? What kind
of
house?
From her.
What house that does might, that get you?
That doesn't get you a house. That might get you like a townhouse.
Or, a townhouse or in London. Condo. So yeah. a household income of 120 gets you a house, a townhouse in London. Okay.
A townhouse or a very, very like low priced house in London.
Now, so I'm not that old, but Like when I was getting married, if you made a $120,000 household income,
yeah,
you were fucking loaded, man. You were living the life. Like things were good. You could get a great house, you know, upgrade the shit out of it, have nice cars, go on vacations. Like everything was beautiful. Yeah. Now that gets you a townhouse in London. Like no offense to London, but like that wasn't a townhouse there wasn't the fucking number one yeah. podium.
So Daryl, right? the income that you just talked about there is no longer the same money. And so the dollar obviously being worth way less because like, I won't like say how garbage. Old you are, but that was a long time ago, you coming out of high school. And now it's 250K household income and you're going to get $1 million mortgage and you're going to go and buy that same house. So what's the difference?
What's the difference? The difference, what do you mean? What's the difference? Right then, now that million.
Back then, a household income of 120 was like the educated people who did well and did everything right.
You
and
had
followed
savings
the path.
Too.
Now the educated people come out, they have household income of 250. They each make 125, husband and wife, and they got their little savings. They got their little, you know, they put together that 20%. They're going to go get $1 million mortgage and they're going to have a nice life. TK, I don't know. Mark, am I wrong?
Some
planet. Am I delusional?
250.
Do I only talk to like the richest like people out there? I don't feel like I do. I'm a middle class guy. All my friends are middle class. We're all middle class.
What's their last name? Rothschild? All your clientele? Rothschild? And
I'm telling
Morgan?
You, you know, it's just simple last names. You know, I was a middle class guy.
Trudeau, maybe? A couple of Trudeaus in the family?
Mark, tell me I'm right or tell me I'm wrong. Either way.
I think you're halfway there. But it's happened so quick over the past few years, right? Like 120K in 2019 in London,
was good.
That got you into the rich neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now you're lucky, like you're lucky to get low detached, if not a nice townhouse. That needs work. Yeah.
Fucking work.
I got a better question though, because you're focusing on the market too much. Total applications that you get, Mark,
right
now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
the income level on the applications that you're getting.
Yeah.
The percentage of people who make six figures or more.
Good question.
Today,
TK.
Compared to 3 years ago.
Ooh.
Much higher. The ones who make 50, 60 don't apply anymore.
Don't apply because they're renters.
They've given up.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you have more? Have applications gone down or is there still an application? Is there still as many applications out there? Because the sales are still similar over the last few years, right?
Not like 2021, probably similar to
last
year.
Go back to 2019. Don't forget about the pandemic.
Right.
Go to 2019.
Remember back
Yeah, probably
then,
about the same as 2019.
Right? Overall deals and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, it's
not
just different people buying.
The percentage of people have gone up. It's that people are making more money today. There are more people who've got six-figure incomes. And that's why you're seeing those applications.
I don't think so. It's the same people, right? It's the same people that could buy that upper-level house are still buying houses now. But the like a dental hygienist and a roofer, I used to get a lot of them, like couples, you know, just as an example, making 90 together, they don't apply anymore. So it's just different, right?
There's no way that a roofer and a dental hygienist, like the roofer's making cash. Maybe that's a different story.
That's part of the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, right? Like, but just as an example, right?
We're lazy roofer.
$45,000 to $50,000 a year jobs.
Yeah.
If they have one car payment, they're not buying a house, right? So those ones don't apply anymore.
Full-time dental hygienist salary in Ontario. Top earners, $103,000.
That makes
top percentile, earner, bro. That's
75th
top
percentile, 91,000.
That
average
one's doing extra.
000. Who
the 25th
hell wants $100,000
hygienist in the office?
What's this is what it is, so though. Great? You guys don't know. Everyone's making
money
out there.
Special dentist. Place.
Everyone's making money
That's
out there.
Special place. If she's
I'm telling
making 100K, bro.
Not, and then she's doing overtime, and she's making her 91.
She's doing overtime
to
get to 100K. That's for damn sure.
Okay.
What's going
Maybe
on
I meant dental
place?
Assistant. Okay, between 45 and 50, like those.
Nobody's making
45,
50 grand anymore. I'm telling you, that's just like refugee income.
But that's not true.
No offense to anybody out there. I'm being very facetious right now. This is not like my real thoughts.
My daughter, my daughter was working $22 an hour as an admin full time, and that's fucking no money, man. That's like $45,000.
That's 45 a year.
But she's not buying a house on her own.
What, $6 more than minimum?
That person plus another person with a normal job, right?
Yeah.
Who just doesn't have these aspirations to do more. They can't have a house. They can rent a place.
She's 20.
And they, what?
She's 20.
No, forget about my daughter. Like, there's no, she's working with people that are in their 40s doing the same fucking job.
But they already bought a house for $180,000 in 1987. So they're good. They're not worried about it. But the people who now are 20 to 25 who are like, I need to buy a house. This is the dream that I have. They look at their options and they say, what is the path to me making six figures? Because me working for $20 an hour is not it. And they will go and find a way to do it. And that's what I'm trying to say is the people who are as motivated as they were 20, 40, 50 years ago to buy are working hard to find the path to buy a home, and they're making six figures, and that's on their notice of assessments because that's how they qualify.
I think there's enough of them for the amount of supply, including all the new people, right? If you got, if you didn't have the new people, like, who the fuck could afford this shit? But then I guess the market wouldn't be where it is either. Mm-hmm. So how much? So what percentage of the applications you work on are new people versus local people that have been kind of born in Canada?
I'd say probably about 10-20%.
20% is new people.
Probably
10-20.
Probably about 15 would be new people. Yeah.
So new, you just don't.
Like how new?
Like within the last 5 years.
Okay. So like they just became sort of eligible to buy.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of, you know, got all their ducks in a row. Okay.
Yeah. There's guys out there that are trying to sell stuff to guys that just landed and are students. And like, there's people out there right now going like, now's the right time to get a line of credit on your house. Like there's some shady shit going on in the market.
New Canadians
right
are like the biggest target for those type of people.
But it's, you know, guys with the same
promises and stuff like that. Be very careful.
Yeah.
Anything that sounds too good to be true, people take advantage of new Canadians all the time.
Yep. It's the guys with the same accent as them, though, that seem to be the ones that, you know, are taking advantage of that, right? Yeah. It's like, it's crazy. It's like literally crazy. And you see these commercials on TikTok and YouTube and what the people, like, I don't know how, I keep getting to the same thing all the time. It's like, how do you know to trust this guy? Because when you're desperate, right? When you're in trouble and you're like, I don't know how the fuck I'm going to be able to do this. And you see this TikTok and the guy's like, don't worry, like, just call this guy and all your problems are going to go away because you don't need credit and you don't need this and you don't need this and we're going to get you the money you need, right?
I've had a scenario so many times where I'm the agent who is, you know, being hired, and the person of every nationality, it's not just one, but like any nationality you can think of in your head has said this at one point to me or not, and they said, I don't want to deal with my own people because I think that they're crooks, and yet, you know, so I just want to deal with somebody who's not from my community. And I'm not saying just me, like they would deal with maybe someone else from another community, but just not from their own personal community. Yeah. And I think that is why what Daryl's talking about right now.
Well, you know that, you know, your own community's pain points and how to kind of remedy them, right? And mm-hmm. so most people, they attack their own, right? It's easier because they don't feel like it's an attack when it's from their own, right? But they're getting abused, man. So but Mark comes across as this nice guy who's going to help you and not play shenanigans. So he doesn't see this stuff, but that's what's going around you, right? So right. You go, sorry, can't help you, and guess what? Yeah. Like that's not where it ends, right?
Yeah, I know that. Oh yeah,
imagine what people are up to in the background,
right? When like, I say so, yeah, especially like when I say sorry, I can't help you, I know that they're gonna have a mortgage within a couple of days, right? It doesn't take them that many calls to get one.
Yeah.
It's not like it used
unless
to be
with
Photoshop's
TK.
A skill. Yeah,
if that's yeah, don't ask me for a fraudulent with mortgage, sorry. Yeah. If you're looking to buy and you want to have a fraudulent mortgage, I'm not your guy.
No, but that mentality that TK talks about where it's like, we'll do anything to keep this thing. We're not going to wave the white flag and just give up and let it go, which I mean, there are some people doing that. Those are the headlines we see, right? When they give up 500 grand in Milton, that guy's going, okay, like, this is just stupid.
Those guys have got already some proceedings in place. Like they're not just doing that. They've missed a few payments. They've received a few, you know, letters, you know, writ of possession. They're already down the line on that process.
But imagine the point I'm trying to
make is. It
takes
a lot to make that sale that much of a, take that big of a loss.
Imagine how many places are really fucking good at the scam, can make the documents that you cannot tell are obviously photoshopped. Have people on the other line of that phone number that they put on the document that are waiting to answer the question about that person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not hard to do, but it will make a bajillion dollars. So when they go to a guy like Mark, probably knowing there's no fucking chance they're going to get anywhere with him, like, the next step is, well, I'm not losing this thing, so who do I got to, right? TK, you're not motivated to find the guy, but people that are motivated, sometimes not even motivated, it's like, hey, I got, you want to watch? No, I'm okay. I don't need a watch. But yeah, like, when you're motivated, man, you're going to find that money and you're going to do stupid shit. So when some guy's on TikTok at 3 a.m. going like, hey, time for a line of credit to get to your house, like, no problem. Yeah. People do that. Right?
I heard it live in action. Okay. So I'm standing at Bathurst and Shepherd TD Bank, and I'm in the little like vestibule, you know, at the ATM. And there's a guy in the same vestibule with some guy standing next to him, you know, just being quiet. And the guy's on his phone and he's talking realtor talk. So I'm like, you know, eavesdropping. Right. And all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, you know, like he's already got this other house and that, you know, he needs another one. You know, the purchase price is like 1.6. So he's going to need a mortgage for like 1, but his income's only 50,000. Right. And he's just like, he's basically like outlining, like, I need you to do something for me. And it's like, you know, can you help him out? Like, we got the offer accepted already. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, oh my God, this is hilarious. So I actually heard it like live. So sure, the agent is going to, that's a big commission. You got a $1.2 or $1.5 million purchase. That's a lot of money for an agent to make in Toronto. And yeah, so it's like, you know, they're going to track down a broker who's going to be able to make that buyer qualified.
Yeah.
100%.
So is it the system that's broken?
For sure, it's the system that's broken.
Yeah. How long? How long ago was that CBC special? And I don't. There's no big change in regulations. They're not cracking down on it.
No.
You know, it's not hard to tell who's doing it.
Because everybody's doing it. Look, you could be the nicest guy in the world trying to deflect every fraudulent application in the world, and there are guys out there better than you at making sure you do not detect it, right? Making sure that the people that are supposed to detect it do not detect it. It's like back in the day, you used to buy, if you're going on a long trip, TK, because I'm so old, I'm going to go back down memory lane here for a second. You'd go on a long trip to Florida, you'd buy a radar detector. But the police had a radar detector, right? Mm-hmm. But then they came out with radar detector detectors, right? Right. But this is the thing. And it's like in Star Wars where they say there's always a bigger fish. Like if there's a will, there's a way. You're going to find that money with some scumbag who's sitting there, whose whole business model is waiting for you to come in crawling and begging and willing to do whatever the hell it takes to save your house, right?
Yeah.
We're here to help you. Don't worry. Would you like some spaghetti bolognese? Right? What do you need? It's okay. It's going to be okay. And then next thing you know, like, you better make some more fucking money really soon or you're losing the house anyways and maybe hurt or dead. Mm-hmm. But people do, right? Because it's like you're scared. Imagine losing your house.
I think Daryl's watching too many movies, but yeah, in essence, really, that's what it is.
Fucking true, okay? Man. It's so, but it's really right? True. Imagine you come here as an immigrant, you need a place to stay. My daughter just said, like, people are lying about their jobs just on rental applications, right? You're not really a manager at Home Depot. Sorry, this is fraudulent. You're not getting this lease, bud, right? Because you just work at Home Depot. And we checked. You checked? You guys really check these things, really?
So let's focus then on the solution here, okay? Because yes, the issue that this is revolving around is that we don't have enough access to housing, and that we all know the only way that we're ever going to get that access is to be able to create more affordable options, right? And so now in the news this week was the Bill 109 there, the, you know, Build Houses Faster, Better, Stronger Act. About municipalities and their timelines, right? Where if they have to refund their application fee if they don't meet a certain timelines, basically now the municipalities have given these long checklists, which is what Daryl's going through right now, before you can even make the application to start the clock ticking. And that's actually going to be delaying some of the projects. What do you think about that?
Yeah, look, I've been saying that for a while that that's going on. And what's even crazier is there's a lot of things going on where they seemingly on the surface are wanting to get more housing out there. But in the background, there's all, like I told you about this before. I'm ready to go with my application in Forest Hill in record time because I'm amazing. But I can't even apply because I got to wait in the city for some hydrant flow test, which is supposed to be like a weather issue because it's supposed to be freezing right now. So I got to wait till April 15th for them to do a test that they could have done, like, you know, at any point in time. It hasn't been that cold, right? But that's just one little thing, right? There's all these little things. Now, did you see the article about the flight path to the hospitals in downtown Toronto? So all these applications that have been in the city where they're asking for a certain height, they just change the restrictions of the flight paths to the hospitals downtown. And all these applications are losing height overnight because of this change. And did you see the news about Fairview Mall where there's like this big application in, but they're giving them all kinds of reasons why they can't add housing there. And that's like a subway stop and an LRT stop or whatever the hell. And it's a mall. Like these are the perfect places for these things. Right. And no matter what they say they're doing, they find ways to restrict the supply. They're a bunch of morons.
I think the province, though, because housing is a provincial issue, the province is going to find a way to be able to like change the rules again. You know, they're going to look at how much houses being built. I don't like Doug Ford's ready to, you know, release the green belt. You know, he's willing to do anything, I think, that it takes to be able to get housing built. And I think that there's going to be a lot more plans that are going to, they're going to just start writing bills left, right, and center to try to be able to create more housing. So, you know, maybe something like a federal flight path might not be able to, you know, be overlooked. But as far as like the density goes and timelines and application, this is going to take time.
Well, it's going to take time. The applications take so long that by the time you're almost zoned, that there's some new policy that just came out, like Bill 109, and you're like, holy shit, why am I only going for 14 stories? Now, because of Bill 109, I could get 45, right? I'm going to reapply. Right. And then, okay, there you go. Now there's that supply doesn't come on, and then boom, it's going to be two more years before it's potentially supply again.
And a deal I brought Daryl this week, Mark, was in an area that's, you know, not so hot. And basically, what Daryl's telling me is like, even if the land was free, it's still not a great deal because of just the cost of construction. And then obviously the tax element, you got 31% of that cost in that pro forma going towards some form of tax development charge, government sort of entity.
Right.
You can't make it work.
And they're not going to get rid of that. These are cash strapped governments.
We got cash strapped governments.
There's so many interests involved. Like you talk about the hydrant test that you were just talking about, Daryl, like that's someone's got that job, right? So they're not going to get rid of that part of the process. There's too many interests that block the straight shot to getting these to getting the work done.
It's such a great point. And now, because of the backlog, because imagine how many development applications are waiting for this test and can't get it done. Now there's somebody at the department who, you know, they think that this hydrant flow test is the most important thing in the world. And they're like, holy shit, we need more staff to keep up with the demand for the hydrant flow test now. Then the bureaucracy starts because now we need a manager of the hydrant flow department, right? And it's like, now they're busy reprimanding each other and having equal pride bathrooms. And like, now it's like, holy shit, I just want to know if the hydrant flows, man. Like, I want to build houses. Yeah. And like, this is the kind of weird shit that it's like, yes, we will give you more density. And yes, if you're near a subway, we will do all this, this, and this. But nobody says, but we're going to smack Petey in the head and tell him, you know what? It's not such a fucking important test. Like, it can wait. Or how about maybe don't wait till it's so warm. Like, do it in the cold. Figure it out. Water flows in the cold. But you see what I mean? Like, and it's the same in the mortgage market. It's like you got that stress test, which was obviously a sham, right? Wasn't
the stress test was a savior? Think about all the people. Yeah. Yes, think about the people who would have borrowed their eyeballs out if they didn't have that in place.
You think it's a savior?
Yeah, I think it saved major problems for the banks, and I think even the banks agree. Look how high we went up. People were spending whatever they had to in 2021. Right. What's the benchmark in Toronto hit? What, 1.3? 1.35? Mm-hmm. That would have hit 1.6, right?
Mm-hmm.
If, because people were, it didn't matter in the heydays. They were spending whatever they had to. So I think that saved the banks from being a lot more underwater than they are.
Big time.
What about
now? They need to remove it, but thankfully it was there. Yeah.
No, but what about all the people that added just guarantors to their loans? And obviously they couldn't handle the weight of the mortgage on their own. But right. Like with Uncle Sam and Auntie Sheila, all of a sudden they qualify, or maybe not even yet. Maybe they need like Uncle Bob too, right? And that was fine. There was like four guarantors on a lot of loans. And that was like part of the rules. So that was cool with some people. Maybe you were like, sorry, I don't play this game. You know, one guarantor per person or fuck off. I don't know. How did you deal with that? Because people, I mean, that was part of it. It's like, can you
told
get
your
a
clients
guarantor
to go find someone to be on title with you? That's what you do. That's and like, you can't get qualified. Your only options are to buy a smaller house, or is there someone else who's going to come on the title with you? And they find someone and the bank qualifies them and, you know, stress test or, you know, test their debt service,
is
stress
that
test
what
them.
You do? You tell them they got to find?
I don't tell them to go find someone. This is what you can afford. No, yeah. I don't mean like that. Like I would say this is what you can afford.
Yeah.
And usually they'd come back with Uncle Bob to co-sign.
But a lot of times too, you know,
how do they know that they can do that?
Sometimes there's people who can afford it, but they just don't qualify. So for different reasons, right?
And exactly, for whatever reason. So
they
will be able to afford it.
And there's a lot of people that can qualify because they got guarantors that can't afford it. Right. And those are the people that fuck up the balance in the market and fuck up the pricing structure and fuck up everything up and down. Right. Because they fucking distort the market on the way up, buying shit they have no right to buy at prices they have no right to pay. And then they fuck it up on the way down when Bob and Sally and Billy Boy, they lost their jobs and they can't guarantee the loan anymore. And you don't have any money because you're a shyster and you shouldn't have, you know, had the house to begin with. And now you're selling it at 500,000 under market, fucking up the whole market again.
Yeah.
Maybe you're balancing the market.
This is the best thing that could have happened to anybody right now who's between the ages of 21 and 30, this market, because it's going to be able to set the table straight. Because I grew up with just everything was going fine and nothing would ever went wrong. And this huge, you know, great recession only lasted like a year and it wasn't even a big deal. And it warps your brain into believing that, you know, nothing can ever go wrong and you're always going to win. And it's a horrible mindset. And the people right now who are going to be watching their pain, they're going to watch their parents lose money. They're going to watch their friends, the neighbors, bankruptcies, power sales, whatever. They're going to go like, oh, wow, this is a serious thing that, you know, you need to get into. And if you're going to be buying a home, you better really understand what you're getting into. And the way that the information is released today and how fast people can get news and then more like education and all that kind of stuff. I think the young people now are like benefiting from these mistakes that are being made and that they're all going to do really well. Because when the market did change, like a lot of people, the mindset of the boomers was pay off your mortgage, pay off your mortgage. It could be 20% any day. We never know. Pay off the mortgage. Yeah. So the boomers paid off their mortgage 30 years ago.
Yeah,
because they could save and pay their mortgages. They can't do that now.
Regardless, it's the mindset.
Do you see Mark on these
jobs? They didn't go on a vacation. They didn't buy that extra car so they could. So whether it takes you 10 years longer or not, the bottom line is people have been just like refinancing their way out of every single issue that they could come up with. You know, oh, I need to paint the fence. Refinance. Well, we need a new deck. Refinance. Yeah. Get it on credit. Tell them we'll pay them. No interest payments for a year. Yeah. That's horrible.
That's how we get to 120 household debt to GDP, right?
The
consistent and zero prices. Bound, and then the price increases in houses. It shoved a lot of problems under the rug that we're really not starting to see until now, with so many price goes up, refinance at lower rates, which makes the price go up, refinance, right? Yeah. And it's like TK said, people are starting to learn or starting to see the effects of that. And I think we're just starting to see the effects.
Just starting to see the effects. Mm-hmm. I keep saying we need to have rates at 3%. That's it. Rates at 3%. Leave them there. If you can't afford 3%, sorry. Like, they're 3%. Come back when you can afford something with rates at 3%, because they're not going to move. Why do they have to move? I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. Why do they have to move? It's not helping when these rates move. Why don't they just tell everybody, like, hey, everybody stop for a bit because we're in a lot of trouble right now. We don't have any money. Okay. So as a collective, we got to figure something out. Why don't we have that conversation? Right.
Because if we didn't raise rates, right? And let's say every other central bank in the world did.
In Q4, right? We must raise the bank overnight rate and the repo market, and we must kill the derivatives. And like, why don't we just say, hey, like, we spent way too much fucking money. We have to all cut back. We have to like help our neighbor build a house. Or we like, there's ways to actually get out of this. But instead, we're just like, what about interest rates? Where should interest rates be?
Well, that's what they're doing. That's why it's at 5. That's what they're saying. Stop spending.
5.
Right? Stop spending. That's why they do it.
Yeah. But there's a global economy, Daryl. So everything's connected. It doesn't
work, apparently.
You can't be, you know, hey, we're going to do it our way and just, you know, ignore what everybody else is doing.
You can, right? In Canada, because you have everything you here. You what do we need? What do we need to
Canada?
Import?
Canada, that's wrong. So our economy is completely dependent on other countries. The U.S. and China. Right. If we lose them, we're screwed. U.S. is a closed economy where they're, you know, they could pretty much do what they need to do and say screw you to everybody else. But Canada relies on imports and exports. We're an open economy.
Why?
Even for our mortgage money. Even for our mortgage money, you look at the Canadian mortgage bonds. A lot of them are funded by international money.
Yeah.
Coming from the States, coming from where have you. Yeah. So if our rates aren't competitive, the money doesn't come here. Yeah. Right? It goes to where they are competitive. So we, as TK said, like the central banks have to keep relatively close to where the Fed is.
I think you should want to come to Canada because there's so many resources and you could buy a piece of land and sell the resources into the open market and make a lot of money and create a lot of jobs and like be useful. But instead, we're like giving a signal with interest rates to stop spending instead of like, why don't we're investing like $109 billion or something in Ukraine. We're spending $4 million on housing locally. We're putting people up in hotels. Why aren't we building a building? We're trying to build buildings like from the city. Like the city's trying to build building and the city mires itself in bureaucracy, right? And it limits
they're gonna
its
do it.
Own
height. They're gonna land one. They're gonna land a building, guaranteed.
It's all it's just happen. Because the real reason is that the whoever's running the show doesn't really give a shit, right? And it's just about making things kind of crazy all the time and hard for somebody all the time and pandemonium all the time, yeah. Right? Because with balance, like what happens then? People become like really prosper. There's no reset, right? If everything was just at 3% and people knew it, right? You could plan and you could build and you could do and you could borrow because you knew like you could grow this great prosperity. But now it's like, what's going to happen next? I better fucking hang on to this stuff or I can't be as aggressive or, you know, I can't take risks because all of a sudden somebody's going to pull the fucking rug from under me, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing's going to make sense until we're kind of at our end of our show here, but we'll let Mark finish up with the last comment. But nothing's going to make sense until the government takes their hand out of the cookie jar. Once that happens, then people can start doing what they need to do. But as long as they keep, you know, taking away from the profitability of businesses, not just in real estate sectors, but in every other sector, we're never going to be able to have the stimulus we need to be able to get things done. Because you can take that money as a company, a public or privately owned company, and you can put it somewhere else and get a better return. And if the government doesn't play ball with those guys, then well, this cycle will continue. Mark,
yeah.
Give us your last thoughts on 2024, what you see happening, and your predictions for real estate markets and rates.
I think we're going to be steady market into the spring. I don't think it's going to blow up like last year. I think the bank's going to do whatever it has to make sure they don't have to raise rates to make sure they don't have to lower rates until after the spring market. I think they really got their eye on it. I don't see any big gains at all, but and rates are probably going to stay about where they are. I think fixed rates could go up a little bit higher just based off what's coming out of the US. But I don't see us going back to 4.5, mid low to mid fours like we had last spring market. But who knows?
Who knows?
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah,
we appreciate you coming back on the show. You're always a great guest to talk to, and your channel is awesome. So keep it up.
Thanks, keep guys. Doing always the good great work. To talk to you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
We'll get you back on soon.
Sounds good. Hey, guys.
Take it easy.